Welcome to the Sacred Body Podcast, where we explore the embodiment of belonging and the journey to get there. The topics we'll focus on primarily are food, birth, sex, and boundaries. And I'm your host, Stacey Ramsauer.
Stay in New York and just like grind it out. I'm like, no, I can't. So I'm here. I'm on the West Coast, extracted in like the opposite, you know, environment from New York City. It's exactly what I need.
Good.
So, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
I was going to share kind of your bio as I know it.
I'm so curious which
bio. Well, I know, right? So before I start recording, I just wanted to check in with you about this. The CrossFit LA post that you shared on your Instagram.
Yeah.
Which is pretty short and sweet. I was thinking I'd read that, and then I'm pretty much going to hand the mic to you. Okay. For you to, like, kind of flesh out who you are. Because, I mean, a lot of the conversation is... I mean, there's a whole lot of reasons why I'm in love with you, but there is that shared foundation of dance and creative relationship to the body, creative expression. So for sure, we'll touch on that today. But is there anything that you really want me to hit, or does that bio feel good to start?
That's fine to start there. I don't know which, is it on my Instagram? I don't care. It's good. Everything that's said about me is true, and it's always more.
Yeah.
I've written like maybe 50 different bios in like my adult life, you know, depending on
yes.
like what's doing. So yeah, that's.
I know. It's like a yearly thing where someone's like, oh, I need your bio for this. And I'm like, let me just rewrite that. I'll get it to you in a second.
Totally. Give me one moment. Let me just see. Let me check in today.
Yeah.
How am I of service right now?
What's true today?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm going to hit record. I'll do the little intro and then we'll be on.
Great. Fun.
Welcome to the Sacred Body Podcast. I'm Stacey Ramsauer, and I'm here with my dear friend and teacher, Lindsay Ashman. Lindsay and I met in New York at Kula Yoga Project. She's one of my favorite teachers on the planet, teachers of movement, and as I watch her through the World Wide Web, teachers of life. She is an advanced level XPT coach. She's a yoga and Pilates teacher, as well as the creator of Ground Control Fitness, a class that weaves together breathwork, core work, yoga, and body weight based strength strategies. She's the owner of Ground Control in New York City. And Lindsay, I'm so honored to have you on my podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me into the conversation. It's my pleasure.
I'm really, I'm such a huge fan of yours for so many reasons. And what I wanted to start with is, you know, Ground Control is not, it's not new, but certainly since the time I was living in New York and I knew you, Ground Control was not the business. And I'm really curious about, you know, based on some things that you've recently started sharing about your reintroducing dance into your personal practice, how this expression of your mastery of movement and love of movement has come to be, and then we'll dig a little bit deeper into the subtler pieces of it.
Well, thank you for asking that question. So I pulled the trigger and opened up my own studio several years ago when Cool Yoga Project opened new doors in Soho. And so I slipped on in decided to share the roof with Kula, which has been very much my yoga home for like the last 14 years living in New York City. I have been teaching privately individuals yoga and Pilates and personal training collectively for about 20 plus years now. And after years of hustling around the city and going into other people's homes, I decided that it was time for me to open up my own business and my own home. So Ground Control, first of all, the name Ground Control is like really sums up a lot for me. 9 years ago, I gave birth to my son Jackson. And the experience of becoming a mother was tremendously interruptive to me and to what I had going on at the time, which was about a 13-year professional modern dance career where I was traveling all over the world. And when I was back in New York City, I would be teaching classes, teaching yoga and teaching Pilates and whatnot, and in rehearsal with the companies I was working with. And my pregnancy was unplanned. And there is more to this story, but I'll say clearly I chose to become a mother, and I also chose to step into the creative world of parenthood. And I experienced a lot of trauma around that. My birth was really intense. The relationship that I had, the state of the relationship that I was having with my child's father was very tumultuous, really unsteady. I felt very ungrounded while, becoming the home of another being in my body. And I felt challenged. My ground felt very, very challenged. And I ended up becoming a single parent. His father left and did come back. But when Jackson was about a year old, I found myself in the throes of single motherhood. And again, sort of like just more traumatic, extreme environment of dealing. And the whole time, though, I just kept returning to my mat. Though I was not dancing, I still maintained a daily physical practice. And I say, I emphasize physical because, and I couldn't, like, I wasn't sitting still and breathing. I was moving to find my breath. I was moving to find some stillness.
Yeah.
Like I was moving to find some sort of metronome and some repetition, something predictable, something that I could have a handle on, something that I could design. And thank God I started practicing yoga when I was 15 years old and dove into meditation and, different spiritual practices and traditions from a very young age. I ended up going to Naropa University, and so I went to a Buddhist-based college. And so thank goodness I had this strong foundation, that was just a part of how I operated during this time. And though I had experienced a lot of difficulty growing up and a lot of adversity and other challenging experiences as a young person, I thought I had seen and done a lot and gotten through a lot. This was like, time to pull out the machete and whack through and not even know what's like behind that next slice or behind that next corner. And so for about 2.5-3 years, I was dealing with court case, custody case. I was single parenting. Mm-hmm. I was hustling as a teacher in New York City, very little support from my family. And you know, I was really just like, I could maybe see like 5 inches in front of me, mm-hmm. and that was about it. But that's kind of all I cared about. So when I opened doors to Crown Control, and the class and the classes that come through Ground Control is my culmination of all of the breath work that I do, all of the strength training that I do, all the yoga that I've done, all my teachers coming through me, and tied together and underlying or sitting on this ground of like what's happening right here and right now with this one person in front of me or with this group of people who came together for this hour, hour and a half to practice for whatever reason in a group, that they're not by themselves. So there's a collective body that I teach to, mm-hmm. and then there's also individual. But what I know more and more is that, yes, there are specific things that people need to hear at specific times, but there's also many things that we all need to hear all the time, you know? And so, like, those ingredients and those cues that come out of me are, like, it's the wisdom of that, and it's also the wisdom of, like, knowing that what I feel is probably being felt and vice versa. So it's a place for me to, like, you know, work with my the empath that I am, the like embodied channel that I feel that I am, and it's a shared space. So that's a very long answer response.
But it expresses what you do, and it's complex and it's rich and it's full, and it's not a, you know, 5-word tweet of an answer.
No, I mean, what I love is, like, you know, people take my class and they're like, you know, they think like, oh, this is a yoga class, or oh, this is a Pilates class, because they go to a yoga studio to take my class.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then they leave, or afterwards they're like, okay, so like that was awesome and amazing, but like, what was that? You know, what was that? And like, you know, earlier you and I were talking about like my bio. and so, yeah, it is what is now, what is right now. And, you know, thank God I've been teaching for so long, and that I have like a reputation, and I have total like reverence to tradition. And, you know, I came from like Swami Satchinanda's ashram at 15, and then Richard Freeman was my primary teacher in Boulder for, you know, about 8 years. I was a hardcore Ashtangi, and Amy Alpers, you know, Rachel Siegel at the Pilates Center in Boulder. Like, I can rattle off my lineage, and I am happy to, because all of these individuals come through me. However, through the thousands and thousands of hours I've had teaching, I am very confident to say that I have my own voice, mm-hmm. and I am, you know, I've crafted like how I impart all of the teachings that I have been given and that I have been practicing and working with to move through this world.
Well, and there's so many things that feed into this. The piece that is strongest for me right now is the fact that you have devoted yourself to lineage, and there are multiple for sure, but there has been a devotional commitment to almost like one at a time. And they weave together like a braid. These strands yeah. come together. But I find it really interesting, and this is, you know, something that I think is crucial for us as teachers, but also human beings. All of those strands were sort of activated in the way that was going to be real and relevant for you through this blasted open experience of becoming a mother.
Yeah.
And I'm so, you know, obviously it's very real for me. I deeply resonated with you using the word disruptive. Pregnancy has felt really disruptive while feeling like a total miracle and like a gift and all that it is. But just that aspect of becoming a mother, I'm certain it's been a steady unfolding for the last 9 years for how then all these lineages express through you. And I just wonder if you want to go a little bit deeper into that.
Yeah, I'm trying to find like where I want to start and just like the topic of lineage, and like the word that comes to mind is like it is parenthood is and mentorship and how. My relationship to my own parents, my biological parents, has been a full spectrum, you know, run the gamut of feeling very close and safe to not at all. And I was raised up to basically, there's no religion, there's very, very little tradition and ritual in my home. And I was very curious about, you know, what that would be like. But my friends growing up in Virginia, all my friends went to church. All my friends had these big families in the South, you know, mm-hmm. I grew up down in like rural Virginia, and everyone had tons of cousins. And we were called Yankees. We were living down South, Yankees. My parents were like, my dad was a farmer and just wanted to live off the land. And, you know, we were called Yankee atheists because no one saw us in church. And I was made fun of a lot because I didn't have a Southern accent and I really kind of stood out. And so, you know, from the get-go, it was like, kind of felt like I had to defend myself or explain myself or like, you know, figure out like, well, what is my identity? And my parents, you know, I remember asking my dad many times, like if they believed in God or what that was. And my father's answer is always like, you know, it's nature. Like it's outside, it's everywhere. It's like, it's the wind, it's the leaves, it's the sound, it's this presence. Mm-hmm. And I got that. And I remember standing outside at night with my dad and we used to look at the stars a lot together. That would be like the one of the very sweet like traditions we did have growing up. And, you know, we would stand outside on these summer nights and just like look up at the stars. And I didn't understand everything we'd say. To just go off on tangents on these like philosophical conversations. And he was explaining to me that what I saw, that the Milky Way, what I was looking at, the Milky Way, was something that we were a part of. And though it seemed like, you know, it seemed distant and it seemed other than, and it seemed separate from the surface that you're standing on and all of these things, that was a part, we were there, that we, what we're seeing, we are looking through something that we are a part of. And when he explained that to me, when I understood that, I felt it. I felt it. It was like I felt my depth. I felt this. I felt so deeply three-dimensional. Mm. I felt my back space. I felt forward. I felt up, down. I felt like all dimensions, that all of my dimensions were a part of and inspired and defined by the multidimensional space of the world and of the universe and all of this. And so it was like, in one moment, it was like science and philosophy and ancient, old connection, human to space and the world, and like and that I was all of that. Hmm. And so it just sort of like blew the roof off for me. And I also realized that I had the freedom to go and study and do and be whatever my heart desired. And so coming from this wide open, like open-doored home, where I felt like there wasn't nearly enough structure. When was dinner? I don't know. What was happening? I don't know. Like the world was mine. And I had to, you know, everything I have, like I made it all for myself. Mm-hmm. But my parents did give me the sense of freedom to explore. And so, yes, I ended up living at an ashram, you know, at an integral yoga ashram in Virginia, and studied with Swami Satchidananda when I was very young, when I was a teenager. And then, as I mentioned, continued to go to Buddhist college and, you know, study with brilliant teachers at Naropa, and, you know, then sort of find a home with Richard Freeman at the yoga workshop in Boulder, and all the while started dancing professionally. And so I did dive into environments and into, you know, contexts that were rich in lineage and tradition, and with people taking it very seriously and very mm-hmm. devout students. And I was that. Like, I love, like, getting up at 4 a.m. to practice and like, practicing celibacy and, you know, and then, like, and then, you know, turn the page and I'm, like, you know, parting my ass off, like, you know, dropping, like, MDMA, you know, with mm-hmm. my college buddies and, you know, running around, like, performing, like, half naked in, you know, like street art in San Francisco. And, you know, like, so all of this brings me to where I am now, mm-hmm. which is loving motherhood and loving how much motherhood has given me a structure and a ton of stability. And I am able to be the mother that I wanted to have. Or that, you know, like the way that I mother really is about parenting myself as well, and holding this emotionally safe container for my son. And I'm a very structured person. Like, I actually really do like routine, and I really thrive on that.
Yes, I know. I've taken your class, Lindsay.
Right. Really detail oriented, and I love being a yoga teacher now. Mm-hmm. I started teaching yoga like a really long time ago, like flip phone era. Like, no, there were no playlists,
right?
You know, like I ended up subbing a class at the yoga workshop because like the teacher was sick, and I like just came to take, you know, to practice with like, yo, can you? So I just like accidentally started teaching, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, as I said, like I started dancing when I was 3 years old. So I've always been like super body based, like bottom up processing person. And I was even I had like delayed speech. I didn't really start talking until I was like 3 or 4 years old. And a lot of my tension in my body, I'd like hold in my throat. And I get like really tight in my throat and my jaw, like all through growing up. That was like my somatic response to stress and some trauma. And so when I the first class I taught where I was not prepared, it was an Ashtanga class, and I was like, all right, well, this is all in my body because I've been practicing this, like, you know, this practice for a decade now. And so I just like stood back and just like almost like had this out of body experience, you know, where I was like, oh, I am like, all these words are coming, all the Sanskrit's coming out, all it's like, it's in my body, mm-hmm. it's like written in, it's a part of my DNA practically. And it was like this euphoric experience, like it was the next level of my practice. And I got to call on, like, not just from practicing yoga, but like practicing dance and, yeah. and knowing like how things feel on such a deep level. and understanding, like being able to see how someone's moving and like feel that and realizing like, wait, what I feel is really, there's something, I gotta follow what I'm feeling right now. And that's how I'm mapping what I'm gonna say. So my, that first class that I taught, I was just new, like, okay, well, I gotta maybe look into this a little bit more.
We're so glad that you did.
And I am too. I am meant to be a teacher, and I learn so much, you know, I grow so much. I am absolutely the woman that I am from all of the incredible students and people I've had the honor of working with.
You have, I mean, to kind of tie these strands together, the culmination of your process, which is ground control and the meaning behind the name and all of it, like establishing a shared baseline for structure and kind of giving people a springboard to be whatever they're going to be, to feel how they're going to feel. I think that's such a beautiful part of what you do, and it's something that, you know, I don't know if this can be taught. I'm really interested in hearing some of your probably developed over time philosophies around teaching and experience of being a teacher, because as you know, it's such a, I'm just going to use the word mess. It's such a mess out there. Like, there's so many people teaching.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really clear. Like, you can walk into a room and feel. You feel. It's a visceral experience when the space is held well. And you do hold this space so beautifully that I find fascinating, and why I love practicing with you so much when I do get the chance, is it's very structured, it's very physical, yeah. And somehow within that, I find levity, I find spaciousness, I find softness, I find care, I find myself. So it's, you know, I've caught myself spending a lot of time bad-mouthing overly physical practices or teachers, but there is a nuanced component to it. I mean, I'm just putting together some pieces for myself, your search, your hunt for structure in your life, and a way to kind of make sense of the vast infinity that is the universe, that is the universe of Lindsay. How has this all come together? Is that something you're really conscious of when you teach, or is it just a function of having been so in tune with your body and that part of your experience from such a young age?
Mm-hmm. So the body is clear. The body has clarity. We have these bones, and we have the structure. We have momentum, we have movement, we have body temperature, we have clear boundaries, physical boundaries. And so the premise of all the work that I do is like, we're gonna start with the body and we're gonna stay there. I am going to keep you there to facilitate insight, to facilitate a space, an arena where there will be insight. Mm-hmm. But if you look for some answer, if you're searching for something, and if you're looking, then, you know, chances are you're gonna miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are, you know, it's like your vision is so narrow, or like seeking, that you're gonna miss whatever might really need to be heard or seen or felt, that's like right in the, you know, in the periphery, that's right next to you, right, maybe right behind you. So like, you know, for me, it's just been like mastering the chaos, mastering the inside chaos in my mind, right? Trying to process like, you know, 40 years of stuff. And always just needing more clarity and more certainty in my relationships and in my life. And so when I'm teaching, it's like, you know, for me, teaching is 100% as like, it gives, I get just as much insight and grounding mm-hmm. and strength and direction from my teaching experience as I would say some of my students also receive. And, you know, for me, teaching is a practice. And I've been asked many times throughout the years to like design a teacher training that a lot of people want to, or I get like asked like, how do you teach the way that you do? And, mm-hmm. you know, will you do a teacher training? And I have always said no, that I didn't want to create a teacher training because because I don't know if like the way that I teach, that can't be codified, you know? I don't want anyone to teach like me. Like, I want people to teach like themselves. I want teachers, I want people who want to teach to feel that they are a teacher and that they have their own voice in these modalities like yoga and like Pilates and any sort of movement modality, while respecting lineage, they are able to cultivate their own voice that's coming from their own experience and the deep connection to what they are teaching. Mm-hmm. And I understand that yoga studios need to provide and, like, you know, have a part of their business structure teacher trainings to keep their doors open. But I think that it's unfortunate that there are so many people who go into teacher trainings, you know, and then they come out and they are expecting to teach right away, or they're expecting to teach like the way that their teachers teach.
Yeah.
And so what I say to, you know, teacher trainings, I love mentoring teachers. I love mentoring teachers who are already teaching. Because I don't think that it's not until like 5 years maybe into teaching that then maybe things start to happen, you know? Like, you know, that's not to say that someone can't be like a real skilled communicator and facilitator of movement and holding space in a classroom setting that's powerful and direct. But I do think that, you know, a good 5 years of like, you know, being out in the field and getting your ass kicked and making a lot of mistakes and getting like some awful feedback and some great feedback and all of that, like, you know, you got to get your calluses. Got to get some calluses. So, and I think it's really important to fuck up a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really important to just like struggle. And then because through that, you're like, you really know if you want, you know, whatever it is, like you're basically having to reconsider, like, is this really what I want to do? Do I really want to be a part of this overly commodified, like, you know, thing now that's called yoga? I mean, God, I would never in a million years want to step into teaching yoga now. You know, I just kind of, I don't even have a website. Like, you know, I mean, I got my playlist now.
Yeah.
But I am like the last person, like my brand, you know, is, I am, you know, ground control is me. And I, you know, I've been so busy teaching and working that I haven't really, you know, the brand that's like coming out of me is just coming out because there's all this like, you know, social media and I had to like come up with a name and whatnot.
But there's something there too about like you, that is a huge part of the experience of practicing with you. It's like I walk into the room and I'm not going because you know so well what you're doing. You've cultivated over so many years with such dedication, without distraction. I mean, the social media platform is a huge distraction away from what the hell are you talking about?
Right. Because it's like, I know why I'm here.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to be doing here in this room, in this space. I want you to find that.
And it happens, like, the transmission is so clear.
Yeah, like, that's my teacher to student relationship. That's if I were to sum it up, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I know exactly why I'm here, and I know what I'm doing. I am so here. I'm in my body. This is an incredible gift and privilege. I mean, my goodness, it is sacred.
It is sacred.
To have 60 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever it is, to step into that place where I'm like, I don't need you to perform anything. This is not, there are so many times I'm not watching. I'm not watching my students. Like, I'm seeing, and there's a difference. Yeah. I'm not waiting, and nor am I waiting to see something happen. But I know when something's happening. I know when something's not happening. Mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. So there are a gazillion teachers who are pretty new at that, and there are teachers who have, you know, there's certain sort of levels of maturity where it's, you know, it's a part of their game plan to maybe get something from their students that is about them, for them, that serves them. I am of service to the people that I am teaching. I am an utterly confident person, and I do not need feedback that is beyond what I'm already getting from how things are rolling along in class.
Yeah.
You know, I am listening and I am feeling when what I'm communicating hits the mark or doesn't. And, you know, like, I practice patience and I practice improvisation and I practice, sometimes it takes, like, all right, some tough love to help people get in the room, get in their bodies, you know? So I practice a range of, like, you know, the way that I'm working with my voice and my tone.
Mm-hmm.
I just try to be there 100% in my body and in my voice.
And this is what you're describing is, like, a very nuanced way of teaching that one cultivates over years of practicing being in their body and discovering ways that movement and embodiment support a fuller expression of being human. Like,
yeah.
And
this is also, you know, this is also why I've now come to be working and coaching with other populations of movers, athletes, you know, working with Laird Hamilton and Gabby Reese, doing XBT coaching, where now, you know, I've always worked with athletes in the realm of yoga and Pilates and some training and some rehabilitation work. But now I'm now in this really awesome forum of coaches where I am leading people through heat and ice exposures and doing performance breath work, which is basically pranayama, like ancient pranayama practices. And I get to teach all of that to people who are not, you know, squirmish under, you know, oh, I'm doing yoga, like I'm doing a yoga class, or this is yoga breathing. Like, I get to extract the word yoga and teach pranayama and be able to access a ton of people who wouldn't normally come to a yoga class. Yeah. So that's really exciting for me.
Yeah, and it's clear that's, you know, been a huge development piece.
I love traveling and I love teaching. And right now I'd say I am in this era of my career. I am very interested in teaching and working with people who do not identify themselves as yogis and you know, are not feeling like they're boxed into the corner of the fitness and wellness world that I come from. Mm-hmm. Because I think that that's where we are now. Like, we must like cross-pollinate. We must pull together. I mean, our bodies want it. Our bodies need diversity and variability. And we also all need to be resilient and adaptable in order to survive and thrive and be great and happy and have healthy relationships. So our physical practice very much guides us in the direction, you know, where I think that where we can go in relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's something about the way that you spoke about your classes earlier of this collective body. It's such a profound thing, and it's such a powerful reason for people seeking out group practice, whether it's yoga or like a group boot camp or whatever the situation may be. I think there's this deep longing for restoration of the collective body.
Absolutely.
The more ways we can do that without it being like, this is a level 3 yoga class.
Right.
And putting conditions on it, I think, is phenomenal.
Right. And I think that that's like, you know, when I teach at all my advanced, like, quote unquote, they're called advanced, you know, vinyasa classes. Like, I step in there, I'm like, yeah, we'll do some like really fun stuff here. Like, it's going to be all of that. But like, what I'm really excited about is like, wow, like, we're all together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of magical.
Yeah.
And yes, like, asana aside, we're all physically here, sweating together, moving together, breathing together. You know, we get to have conversations before and after this.
Yeah.
And just connect, you know, and just connect. I mean, I am fortunate that I have had decades of already teaching. So I've like, you know, in preparing, like for me, when I'm preparing for a class, I practice and I see what's coming out of my body.
Yeah.
You know, and I like, okay. And being a dancer, a choreographer and a practitioner, like I, you know, it's just, I know how to sequence well, and I know what just like is really comprehensive I've got that down. I've got the movement down. And I can easily just like, okay, remember, and it's there in my body. And so then it anchors into my body. So when I'm teaching, it's coming through my body and I remember that. But like, wow, there's this whole other layer that I'm there to see what's gonna happen. You know, who's there in the room? What's gonna come out? How is this going to be applied? You know, and I get to really learn what's coming from my body, how it translates in other people's bodies, what their bodies are showing me about this movement, about the sequence, and, you know, and then I repeat and I repeat and I kind of garden it, I work it. And in leading XPT work, like, you know, every week in Brooklyn, I gather together 8 to 10 people, just random people come out, and these are people from all corners of my life. These are some people I have not seen for years, and then they're meeting my next door neighbor, and it's like this beautiful constellation of connection. And yes, heat and cold shock proteins aside, and all the benefit, the fire and ice, and getting out of your comfort zone, like all of that, yes, and community.
Yes.
You know?
Having that shared experience.
Oh, yeah.
It's well, just... your passion is so infectious, and I have one thing that I kind of want to finish with. And everyone who's listening, like, I'm gonna make sure people know how to find you and can get access to you, even if it's just through the social media platforms. But, you know, anyone I know would be challenged to look at you and see the way that you move and what you offer and not just assume like, well, this woman is in the best shape of her entire life. And I'm really curious to hear, because also you seem to be having like a Benjamin Button thing going on. Like every time I see you, you look younger and younger and younger. That's awesome. And stronger and stronger. Awesome. And stronger. But you just radiate. You are such a, not only does it feel safe to be in your presence, like you do embody yourself. There's a deep level of confidence. And I'm curious about, you know, the fact that you've been a mover your whole life. What has been the biggest shift for you to arrive at the place that you are with just like the most radiance ever? Because it's not just a physical thing. It is, of course, physical, but how has the physical work transformed the other layers of your being and vice versa?
Yeah, I think that, I think about this a lot because I do really feel good. Like what you see, like, yeah, that radiance, I feel that comes, that's coming from a place of feeling free. That I have traversed some very sketchy earth, and I have, you know, bushwhacked my way through. I have fucking scaled walls, and all of that, that all of this that I've encountered in my journey being here in my body in this life, I now am at a place where, like, I don't have a whole lot of fear. For years, I was like in a custody thing. I was like, I thought I was going to lose my child. I had like all this, like, you know, I had panic attacks. I had, and it was all BS. It was actually really never going to happen. It was just a lot of threat. And, you know, and so I basically have looked dead in the eyes of certain things that I was terrified of, you know, terrified of being abandoned, terrified of death, of my death, terrified of losing. I have lost a lot. I have had dreams totally annihilated. I have been, you know, just really hanging on by a thread for a long time. Like I've experienced years where it's like 1 minute at a time, that kind of feeling of survival. And so the radiance that can be, I guess, that you're seeing from me is from a feeling of being free and not walking around feeling afraid. I am 41 years old. I feel like it's been already the longest, fullest life ever. And I feel like I just open up the blinds and I push open the doors and there's this fresh breeze and the sun is shining and it's the beginning of a new day. You know, it's like this life is short and it's long. And we don't know what's gonna happen. And I would like to, you know, I would like to continue on feeling my vulnerability and feeling my empowerment and attracting wonderful people in my life and being open to relationships and hopefully like finding love and finding a partner. And that's what I'm focusing on now, or that's what I'm not focusing, but I'm feeling ready for that.
Yeah.
I'm feeling ready for that. And then I just also really trust that that's going to happen. So I'm enjoying like feeling how I'm feeling and I'm not looking. I'm just here as productive and creative and, you know, manifesting as much as I do. But yeah, I think that this component of like, well, I've taken a lot of risks and I've said yes a lot in my life and I've taken a lot of falls. And, you know, I've been there and back with myself. So I know what I'm made of. I know how strong I am. And there's no, and I do not question that any longer. And so in my not questioning myself, there is, that's where the freedom comes from.
Yeah.
And that, and this, and like entering into to motherhood is, a nice, like, way right to that.
Yes.
That's like, yeah, that's just like, that's unavoidable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that it's, you know, sometimes described as like the veil gets thinner and you're kind of between two worlds. I feel myself just on this precipice of motherhood, and it's like I can feel the maidenhood going away and fading into the background, and I can see the motherhood coming, and it's so tenuous at times. And you know, I've worked with Kali as a practice for a long time, and one of my favorite teachers describes working with her as like the energy of childbirth, just the inevitability of it.
When, as you're talking, that veil and the thinning, I'm thinking like cervix and,
yes,
you know,
like, exactly. You know, it's happening at the gross level and all the way through.
It's like, that is exactly your physical process.
Yeah. It's so beautiful.
Ugh. It's amazing. It's just like so much.
Well, Lindsay, I'm really grateful for your time. I'm grateful for our friendship. For those of you listening, if I'm in Brooklyn and I can't make it to Lindsay's class, I'll at least hunt her down at the studio so that I can see her bask in her light for a few minutes. If you are ever in New York, I highly recommend you seek her out. She teaches all over the country as well. I'm going to wait till this baby comes and then get you to Tucson so you can bring all your goodness here and share with the community. But my friend, thank you for all that you are in this world.
Thank you, Stacey. Thank you so much for inviting me into this conversation. So great.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of the Sacred Body Podcast. I look forward to joining you again. And if you want to learn more about today's episode, please visit stacyramsauer.com. You can leave your comments, share far and wide, and we'll see you next time.